One of these Sunday mornings, we just have Tim play for us the whole time. That was great, Tim. Yeah. I knew you were thrilled to see that. Did you notice, do you see these things? Like they were introducing a song and Tim was leading into it and he looked over at Aaron to see, aren't you coming in? And could you hear Tim say, oop, I'm in the wrong key? Could you hear that? And I thought it was perfect because then they got in the right key and the first words are, 1,000 times I've failed. Do you get that in church at different times? It's like so perfect, right? I love those moments. And the truth is Tim doesn't fail 1,000 times, so I'm grateful for that. Let me go ahead and dismiss our teachers. You want to head back, and then our kids, preschool through 8th grade. I think it's 8th grade. I hope I get this right. I hope I get it right. Yeah. Good. I don't use the term pagan very often, because it's... if I do, it's usually about a Christian that I'm talking about, so it's not that way. The people in my world that are friends of mine that are not believers, most of them are barbarians in life, and then spiritually, they're just a ways away from Christ. And it never fails on a Sunday morning when I'm sitting over here and we're in the middle of worshiping that I get a buzz on my wrist. And so those of you who think, wow, Tim's got an Apple phone and Apple Watch. I just want you to know it's because my son is everything Apple, and you know, that's his profession. And so one time he said to me, hey, Dad, would you want an Apple Watch? I go, Matt, I don't wear watches, so why would I want an Apple Watch? He goes, too late, I got an Apple Watch for you. So it reminds me of life outside of here, and so I got buzzed like 3 or 4 times while I was over here. One of my barbarian friends texted me to say, Jordy Nelson retired as a Packer today, so all you Packer people, it's happy, yeah. And we're in the middle of how great thou art, you know, and so a few of you, I thought, that's good for you. So I get buzzed by them a lot. I get buzzed because they don't know that we meet for church on Sunday morning because they don't meet for church on Sunday morning. So they're just thinking, hey, I woke up, thought something, I'm going to send it to Tim. So I'll get these, like, buzzes, and I'll look down, and it's a crack up for me to see what they're talking about, or in some cases it's really serious stuff that they're wanting to share, and I'm glad in that moment that they're communicating with me, and I'm reminded because I'm singing, or we're together, we're in fellowship, or we're, you know, there was a group of us back in prayer at 10 o'clock this morning, and we're in prayer, and when it comes in, it reminds me of all the important things, all the right things that that God pours out on us if we just open up to it, like all those good things. And we've been looking at it in this study, In His Image. And I love that that's the title of the book, In His Image, because that's what God says when He created us. He created us in His image. And there's a certain stamp that goes with that. There's a certain identity, a certain promise, a certain love commitment on God's part. And what it should do to us is it should make us say something about ourselves, and it should make us say something about the people around us. No matter who they are, no matter what the struggle is that's going, no matter what's going on in their life, that each human being was created in the image of God. And in that, there's hope, and there's love, there's respect. And in the world we're living in right now, where lines of respect are very thin and broken down a lot, we just need to be reminded about those words, in His image, that we're created in His image. So could you do this? This is for me, not for you. Hopefully it'll be a good experience for you. Can you just look at the person next to you and do this up-down kind of thing? Like, look at their face, look at their eyes. And know that person's... I love that. Some siblings just went... like this to each other, you know. That you're created in God's image and they're created in God's image. And that's a great place to start, and we've been spending a lot of time there this summer. In this book, it really looks at the attributes of God. And again, I don't want to say things that just kind of, you know, go in one ear and out the other. But there are some attributes of God that can't be transferred to us. They can't be, because it's God and God alone. But then there are some attributes of God that because we're created in His image, because we have an opportunity to restore a broken relationship with Him that He pours into us, He wants to pour into us, and we can live in those fully. I won't say we can live in them perfectly, but we can live in them in a mature and complete way. And so we've been looking at some of those, and I want to mention those right at the beginning here. We started with God Most Holy, and then we moved to God Most Loving, and then God Most Good. In the last couple of weeks, I was gone the last two Sundays, God Most Merciful, and then God Most Just. And just want to stop here, not so much to talk about all of those, but a little of my travel this summer. I did not believe that I would be traveling very much this summer. I believed that I would be here almost all the time, and yet, because of different things going on, I haven't been here very much. In planning for this, the original plan was that Pastor Steve would do most of these, right? And then we know what's going on. In fact, I got a text while we were here from Cindy saying, we're on our way up to Mayo. So Steve and Cindy are on their way up there. And, you know, I'll give you the results of that as soon as I have it. I know he's supposed to see an infectious disease doctor on the 12th. So Steve was planning on doing this series. You know, historically in our church, he does most of the series in the summer. So I felt like, okay, if Steve can't do it, at least I'm going to be here. And then that hasn't happened as much either. The surprise to me isn't that Steve wasn't able to do it or that I wasn't here, but the surprise, the joy of the surprise to me is the fill-ins have, for the most part, been some of our young adults who grew up in our church. And I looked at like almost three out of four weeks, I had Jonathan Johansson, then Aaron, and then Nate. And then I'm filling in this week, and then Elena Johansson is sharing next week. And I got another curveball surprise last couple days. Mac Jacobson's coming home. And he texts me and he said, hey, I'm going to be home next Sunday. And I text back to him, that's great. I can't wait to see you. You know what his next text? Can I preach? I said, Elena is. And this is Max text back to me. Okay. Like, you know where he was going. Okay. I was so excited. Yeah. Okay. So I text him back. I'll try and carve out 10 minutes. His immediate text was, good, I'm preaching from Matthew 10, verse 8, you know. Like, he's ready to go. So if you're here next week, just get ready to get poured on, okay? But that's a surprise to me. I didn't know that. I didn't know that this is the way it would work out. But, man, I hope you've been blessed by it. I know I have been. Like, I, not being able to be here on certain Sundays, was so thankful for who was going to share that morning and wishing that I was there to hear exactly what they were teaching us. But we've gone through a lot of these, and I want to continue on with that this morning, okay? And I'm going to take one that I think is, to me, one of the easiest. I look at God Most Just, and that's not easy. Right? That's not easy. That's not necessarily an easy one. But the one we're going to look at this morning is God Most Faithful. So I'm going to give you a quote, and then I'm going to give you a verse. Okay? And before I give you a quote or a verse, could I just tell you, on God Most Faithful, like no other attribute, I could stand here this morning and read you one verse after another about God's faithfulness and not give not say anything about any one of them, and we would leave here today going, that was one of the best times I've ever been together. Because it's so good to hear about God's faithfulness. Like, it's so filling to hear about His faithfulness. So let me give you a quote. God is faithful to his children because he cannot be unfaithful to himself. I'm not saying that as a cold, hard fact. I'm not saying that, God doesn't want to be faithful to us, but he has to be because he can't deny himself. That's the way an attribute of God could be looked at. I just want to start from this bottom line. Before you think anything else, before you say anything about yourself, know this, because it's God's very nature to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to us because it's his very nature. He can't help but be faithful. So when you're going through a struggle and this little thought slips into your mind about, man, I wonder if God even knows what's going on. I wonder if he knows what's going on, if he cares. I'm wondering if he knows, cares, and is going to be faithful to me through this whole process. Know that that's just one of Satan's arrows that he's shooting at you, trying to bring in this moment of doubt. And I don't deny that we have doubts when we go through struggles. I know we do, but that's in us. That's what we're going through. That has nothing to do with the faithfulness of God. Because, listen to it again, God is faithful to his children because he cannot be unfaithful to himself. Let me take it a step further just with this verse. Deuteronomy 7:9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. It's just telling us right now, the God that you're serving is indeed God. Now look at the first thing he says. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. I know we're not an amen church very often, but amen to that. Right? In a couple weeks, we're going to be meeting with Victory Outreach, so we need to practice our amens here. So whoever you're sitting next to, one of you say to the other one, God is faithful, and you say to that person, amen. And remember, if it's a woman, say amen, sister, or amen, brother. Let's practice this, okay? So one of you say, God is faithful, and the other person say, amen, sister. Brother. Yeah, thank you. Go ahead, look at each other, do it. I need to see you doing it. Don't do a fake. Kelly, Aaron's right behind you. Could you connect with him? God is faithful. Amen, sister. Well, that leads me perfectly to the word faithful and the word that comes from Scripture. The original word is amen. Pretty close to amen. You just said amen to each other, right? And it means to be firm or sure, to be firm. How many times in Scripture do you see that it talks about God is this foundation that we can stand on, this foundation that we can believe? Here, I'm going to start it and you finish it. On Christ, the solid... That's because he's faithful. The songwriter knew that so he could say, this is where you can stand. This is firm. It means to be firm or sure. No need for doubt. That doesn't mean we're not going to go through doubting. But in reality, God is faithful because he can't help but be faithful. Let me run through a handful of things really quickly. Daily reminders of God's faithfulness. Creation. The book that we're using on God's faithfulness in his likeness tells the story of a group of explorers were sent out into Wyoming to find what they could find. And they come out of the woods and around this opening. And as soon as they come, water is sprayed, sparkling water is sprayed. This is the description of one of the journals, 125 feet in the air. And immediately one in the group says, geysers, geysers. They spent a couple hours there, and every 15 to 20 minutes, I think, this geyser would explode. And he described it a little in an oval shape, 3-foot by 8-foot gap. And This one geyser just shot it 90 feet to 125 feet in the air every time and sustained it for several minutes. And so before they left, they named that geyser. Anybody know what it is? Why do you think? Because there was this magnificence to it. There was this consistency to it. There was this sureness of it. And don't you love this? Don't you love looking at God's creation? God's creation is a reminder of his faithfulness. Psalm chapter 90, verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from the beginning to end, you are God." Let me give you another one of the daily reminders of God's faithfulness. I love this. It is the Bible. And in the Bible, you find a number of daily reminders. In the Old Testament, he established a thing called the Sabbath, because that was a reminder of his faithfulness. With the Jewish people, he told them to set up memorial stones, like as they moved, and God did wonderful things, set up these memorial stones. This last week, how many ladies were at Deb's Bible study on Friday? Did she show you the rocks that she painted? Right. I know she gave you small ones, but did she show you the bigger ones that she had painted that had certain words on that? Right. And those were for her memorial stones, because last Tuesday, I know I've given you enough medical stuff in the last couple of years that you're wondering if I'm going to medical school. I know you're wondering about that, but Tuesday she went in for a six-month checkup and everything was great. Everything was really good. She's got to go back in 3 months, and I think they'll give her the green light to say, you don't have to come back and see us anymore. Right? But she's marking those things in her life with this memorial stone. That was a reminder of God's faithfulness. The feast that we read about in the Old Testament, those were a reminder of God's faithfulness. How about for us in the New Testament, New Testament believers? Every time we have communion, you know what that's about? It's reminding us about God's faithfulness. 2 weeks from this Sunday, if you haven't heard, we won't be here. We'll be at Levings Lake. You know why we're going there? To be with Victory Outreach and have a celebration with them. But do you know what the center of that is? The center of that is baptism. Every time a new believer walks down in the water and is baptized, you know what's a reminder of? A lot of things. God's love. Old life, new life. But it's a reminder of God's faithfulness to us. Even in America, secular America today, we have holidays, right? I'm going to say the holiday and you tell me what it reminds you of. Easter? What does it remind you of? Christmas. Yeah, I knew there would be a couple of my barbarians in here that when I said Easter would say, Easter eggs! Yeah, I get that. Christmas? What does it remind you of? Yeah, for us as Christians, when we say New Year's Day, what does it remind us of? This new life that God offers us every day is there's fresh hope in. Daily reminders come in of God's faithfulness in the seasons. Look at Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. I thought the biblical writer of Genesis 8:22 must live in the Midwest, because he got all the summer, or all the seasons here, right? Planting and harvest, man, look around. I think in the spring we were all wondering, could they even get crops in because it was so rainy around here? And now we're glad to see corn growing. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Every one of those is a reminder to us of God's faithfulness. Let me take it from those big things to hopefully something very personal, very practical to you. I'm going to mention three of them, okay? Here's the first one. God is faithful in my trials. God is faithful in my trials. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Get that, man? It's God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. I love this because it starts really being very personal to me now, that whatever trial I'm going through, God's faithful. And he's invited me into partnership. He's invited me, Tim, into partnership in the middle of this trial. I'm wondering if you're one of the people sitting in the room today that maybe no one else or maybe one or two other people know the trial that you're going through right now, the struggle. Know this, everybody around you understands trials because we've all been through them. But maybe you're going through it right now and you're feeling maybe alone or tired or beat up. Man, take this. God is faithful. He's faithful in the middle of your trial and partners with you. Let me go to the second one. God is faithful in my, not my trial, but my temptation. How many times have you gone to this passage? 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. It's not a scientific search, but a lot of the things that I've read recently on temptations always include this other word, endure. And understand that temptation comes from inside of me, and that the endurance is my responsibility, like I'm supposed to endure. But God always links that endurance to his faithfulness. Let me just stop for a second, because sometime my trials can then lead to my temptation. You ever felt that way? My trial, what I'm going through, leads to temptation. So I don't want to go into this very long. You're very familiar with, in fact, this last week, let me see, the date is the 4th, so 2 days ago would have marked 2 years since the doctor said to Deb, you have leukemia. It's 2 years. And you know, because you've been walking alongside of us. Does it surprise you that it's been 2 years? Does it feel like it hasn't been that long, or does it feel longer? Because sometimes it feels like it was yesterday to me, and sometimes it feels like it was a decade ago. Because you're walking through that. And this week we went in and Deb, you know, had her checkup, and doctors told us everything was good. And we got home and we were talking, and she said, you know, I can't remember this one little piece. And I said, well, just let me check my phone. So on my phone, in my notes, I remember starting when they gave us the diagnosis, every day putting the date and then jotting down just in bullet points what was going on. And so I went in and found the answer to what Deb was saying, and then I started reading the next day. And the next day. And Deb would go, ooh, I forgot about that. And the next day. And the next day. But God, man, he's been faithful. And so we pretty much get through that. And then as we get through that, we run headlong into a couple other medical situations that we still don't have answers for. My brother Steve, my son Matt, I wish I had more answers for. I don't. Just know they're searching for those. That's a trial. I know you know that because so many of you ask me, Tim, how are you doing? And I'll say, I think I'm doing good. And then you'll move closer and say, no, really, how are you doing? And maybe 2 years from now, I'll look back and say, boy, I was really off on that. But I think I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm doing okay. Like every day that I'm reminded of just this truth that God is faithful, I lean into it. I love it. But let me just tell you, trials can lead to temptation. And this is one that that I've had to fight a couple different times. If you're just coming out of a big trial and another one comes along, what's the first thing you start feeling or thinking? Oh, no. Not another thing. And then what's the next thing that comes after that? These things are big. Like these waves are just washing over me. Then what's the next thing? What do you think the enemy's going to do in that vulnerable moment for you? Why me? Like that's washed in a couple times on me. Why me? Like it's such a vulnerable moment that the enemy's going to try and use that trial to set up a temptation in your life. Why me? Like, do you understand that? Do you understand that? Like the second that I say, why me, the focus goes off of the people who are going through the real struggle, right? Like, it goes off that, and it lands on me, and it starts pulling me in a direction that's not healthy at all. So just know this, a trial can lead to a temptation. A temptation can lead to a fall, and that's why I want to give this next one. God is faithful in my forgiveness. I love these words, 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful. That's what it's saying. In my trials, He's faithful and partners with me. In my temptations, God is faithful. Provides a way that we can stand, that we can endure. But even in the moment that we fail, that we fall, God's faithful. He's faithful in my forgiveness. It's not a surprise to Him. It's the way He knows that we circle back to health. But somehow we come to that moment of going, I get that I didn't do this right. I'm sorry. It's wrong. It's unhealthy. Well, let's circle back to forgiveness in God's faithfulness. I love that. I wanted to put a stamp on those three, that God's faithful in my trials, my temptation, and my forgiveness. I want to put a stamp on it, and I'm going to do it by saying this. God is faithful to the finish of everything. Let me just read these verses through. Philippians 1:6, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promises. Revelations 19:11, then I saw heaven open and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. For He judges fairly and wages a righteous war. He's faithful in my trials, in my temptation, in my forgiveness, because God is faithful to the finish. And He's faithful to complete things. So I want to finish with this thought. Because this is a communicable attribute. We can be faithful. We can. Like, it's one thing to grab a hold of the fact that God is faithful in every situation, in every one of His promises, He's faithful. But He's telling us His faithfulness can pour into us and we can be faithful. Man, wouldn't that be good? Any parents here? Wouldn't it be good? Like, just to be faithful as parents. Hey, married people here? Good to be faithful, right? Damaging to not be. Any friends here? Listen, one of the qualities I would want in a friend is that they were faithful. I think they would want that in me, that I would be faithful. Not perfect, but faithful. This is one of those attributes. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. I have chosen to be faithful. It's a good place. It's a good place to be. I love that God is faithful to me, but He's pouring that into me so I can become faithful in my relationships, in my world, in my words. And He's saying, here's the starting point, don't just hear about my faithfulness, Tim. What do you choose? Like, what do you choose? Do you choose to be faithful? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen. For He who calls you is faithful. And just drink that in. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Man, I want that, Tim. How? God will make this happen, for He who calls you is faithful. I said at the beginning, I just take verses about faithfulness and read them and we'd be refreshed. Did you feel that way as I went through each verse? Like, did you feel that way? Did you, oh, that's right, God is faithful. I'm going through a struggle. Oh, that's right, God's faithful. I'm being pulled in a direction by this temptation. Oh, that's right, God's faithful. I have blown it complete. Oh, that's right, God is faithful. This is how faithful He is. He's faithful enough to finish it. And then He invites us into this faithfulness. Will you choose it? That's what He's saying. Will you choose it? Will you let it go all the way down inside you, not just your body, but your soul and your spirit? Will you let it pour deep into you so that you can be faithful? Man, that's His invitation. Good invitation. Let's pray, okay? Lord, thanks. As Candy said early on, maybe something that's so familiar, maybe we just take it for granted. I know that's the pull, I know that's the temptation, but help us not to, or help us in this moment, if we have been taking it for granted, to just stop and be refreshed by just this thought that you're faithful to us. And as your faithfulness pours out to us, pours on us, I pray that it seeps into every part of who we are. And we too become faithful. Help us to choose that. If right now we're struggling with this, help us to know that starting point is to choose. We want to be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Just talk about a couple things that are going on in our church family. I see Terry Klein is over here. Terry, any new news on your dad? Still in the hospital, okay. He's had almost a domino of health issues that have gone on. And I think you guys are going to be there next weekend. You'll be there next weekend, so that'll be good. And you can just give us a report when you get back from that. Bill Jacobson's mom passed away. I think if you checked on church Facebook, you probably saw that. Man, what a loving treasure. What a godly woman Bill's mom is, and celebrating in heaven now. But be praying for Bill and for the Jacobson's family. Jim, where are you? Jim Binning, you in here? Or you, did they take off? Oh, he's in the foyer. Okay, let's be praying. Jim leaves at 3:30 in the morning, I think. 3:30 in the morning, he's on his way down to Haiti. And so he wants us to pray for his strength. You know, he's been through some pretty sizable medical things in the last several months. And then just pray for his mission down there. Highly relational and trying to make sure that relationships stay very healthy. stay very clear. So let's remember to pray for Jim. And then I want to talk a little bit about this because I just haven't had opportunity to talk about it, but we have, Deb, you're waving. Okay, so will you put that on the church Facebook if it's not on there already so people can see to get information on the funeral service for Bill's mom? I haven't been here to talk much about baptism this summer, and I haven't been here to talk a lot about our baptism Sunday, but it's coming up 2 weeks from now. So we won't be here. We'll be at Levings Lake. If you know where Levings Lake is, wave your hand. You know where it is. If you don't know, wave your hand. No, don't wave your hand. Just ask me. I'll talk to you about how to be there. We do this annually, and it's a connection with a sister church that we love dearly, Victory Outreach. I don't know what to say about it. Annually, this has been one of my favorite days every year. And it's turned into a great opportunity for fellowship with Victory Outreach. We had a bridge month back in May, or not a bridge month, a missions month. We have a missions month coming up in September to talk about the things that we say are the fiber of our church, the DNA of our church, which is to love the people around us and to specifically love starting in our city and then our country and then the world. Like we go with those circles. And this is one of those ministries that's in our community that we have opportunity to love them and encourage them. And we as a church have felt like it was vital, it was a vital enough ministry that we wanted to partner with them. On top of all that, we get to have baptism together and then we get to eat lunch together. So I'm asking you to make that Sunday a priority. The flyer that you're going to get is going to tell you that it's at our regular church service time, 10:30. I'm asking us as a church to get there earlier than that. Like, shoot for 10 o'clock. And plan on being there for a few hours. Like, plan on being there and fellowshipping with everybody that we can, not just our church family, but our extended family, Victory Outreach. So I'm asking all of us to be there and make this a significant day, not just for us, but for Victory Outreach. Pastor William, each year I go, you know, we don't have to do that. No, we love that day. So let's love on them that day. On the sheet, it tells you the things to bring, what's already provided. You know I'm going to say this, right? When it comes to what you bring, you need to bring enough for your entire family plus me. And that me may not be me. It may be somebody specifically from Victory Outreach. Okay? So bring an abundance. Loving on them, it's important for us to just say with that casserole, we love you. With that dessert, we love you. Okay? And then it tells you other things that you can bring, other things that are going to happen that day. But more than anything, I just want to say these two things. Be there. Be part of this. And then I haven't talked at all about this summer, but if you are interested in being baptized, I know, 2 weeks out, right? I got it. 2 weeks out. If you're interested in being baptized, would you specifically come up to me and talk to me about being baptized? Because I'd like to give you some information about that so that we're prepared on that day, okay? I hope I got things. Yes. Okay. Okay. All right.
Thank you anyway.
Yeah. Yes. Any volunteers, we need to see Barb. And that is setup, and that's cleanup, and that's serving in between. Okay? So if you can be there early and help with the setup, we always need a team for cleanup afterwards. And then just serving in between. So see, Barb, where will you be? Will you be up front here? Like, you'll just be up here if people want to come and help. Okay? No, you can come up front. I know. This is much more painful for you if you come up front. So that'd be for my enjoyment that Barb come up front. Okay? Just fine, Barb. Man, I know there's some... Oh! pray for Ken and Kelly's daughter-in-law and son. Next Sunday is the appointed time for the baby to be born, but she's going to the doctor on Thursday, and who knows? Micah may have the baby early. Wants to have the baby. She's ready to have the baby. Yeah, yeah. So we've got some struggles going on and some celebrations. Life, right? This is life. Good thing, celebrations, he's faithful. Good thing, struggles, he's faithful. All right. Did I get all the announcements out? Next Sunday, after church, we're doing this as abbreviated as possible because the Johnnicks asked for nothing to be done, but they've agreed that they would come back, and so next Sunday we'll have prayer for them at the end of the service, and we'll have cake immediately afterwards. And again, just asking you to just tell them what they mean in your life. Like, I'm going to let Steve Kennedy tell me the last thing, and then nobody else can raise your hand. Oh, Steve's good, so anybody else have you? We still have one that could possibly have. Oh, I have no choice. It's my mom, so yeah. Oh, yeah, how could I have missed this? Well, Ray has a new haircut. Let's go through that. And then their grandparents again, and Oakland is just beautiful. Like, she's stunning. So if you want, ask her. She has a few pictures. Okay, she's got a few. All right. I mentioned Terry over here. I mentioned